You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Big leagues. I'm your host, Celicia Thomas. And you guys, I'm so excited. You guys, okay, this is happening during inauguration week. Don't know when this episode will air, but we are recording this darling who I have on today. She's so kind. And she's a friendly face when I've seen her at auditions, you guys. And just really the bomb. A sweet essence, you guys. Welcome from one of my favorite shows, Dear Evan Hansen, Diamond Essence White.
Hi. Yeah. I'm good. How are you? I'm good. How are you? Trying to keep my puppy quiet.
It's all good. And if they want to play, welcome. Welcome to the show. Where are you right now?
I'm at home. I'm in my room. I'm sorry?
Are you in New York?
Oh, yeah, duh. Yeah, I'm in New York City. I forget that, like, people aren't from here all the time. Yeah.
It kind of feels like, oh, everyone's in New York. But
yeah.
There was a day when I wasn't. Are you originally from here?
Yeah, born and raised.
Oh, that's bomb.
Yeah.
That's so badass. I always feel like people who like are born and raised in New York are literally cut from a different cloth, like a different breed of human.
It's kind of true. except some of us know that, so we try to like be like, let's like try to be a little better about it. But literally, yeah, totally.
So like, you are a New Yorker. Have you ever lived anywhere else?
No.
Would you ever want to live anywhere else?
I would like to go to LA eventually, but you know,
I absolutely feel that in you. Like, see, I can see you doing that.
Oh, thank you. I'm like really hoping for that to be my next move. So, we'll see.
Have you been out there?
Never. I was gonna go. I was planning on going. I have a manager over there. He was like, you should plan on taking a trip out here, but then the pandemic happened and there was no reason for me to go anymore, so I just haven't gone.
Okay. It's waiting for you, Diamond. Honestly, everything about you, everything about your essence, Diamond Essence, it literally screams LA.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And also, I mean, you'll always have that New Yorker blood, like for real.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. One of the reasons why I'm like super excited to talk to you is because I follow you on Instagram, like Avi. Like, you just posted something the other day about speaking at a school. First of all, where was this school at?
It was in Smithtown, Long Island, which
Long
is like
Island.
Yeah, the racist hub of New York. So
shut up.
Yeah,
I didn't even know those places existed in New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like, I feel like they say it all the time, but New York would probably be blue if it weren't for New York City. I mean, red if it weren't for New York City. Yeah.
You know what? I did hear that during this last election. They were like, hey guys, I know everyone's like going home to where you're originally from, but like New York City kind of still needs your vote just to make sure that.
Yeah. Like the rest of, like, New York City is its own thing. The rest of New York is very different. From my understanding, I haven't been to the rest of New York, but like from my understanding, that is, yeah.
It's hard for me to even wrap my mind around that because I'm from California, and where I'm from, like, bubble. Where I went to school, bubble. In New York, bubble. I'm like, everyone's liberal.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
So, what's your connection to that school? How did they invite you there? And what happened for those who don't know?
Okay, so I went to school on Long Island. I went to college out on Long Island, and I did a few shows out there. So I, like, made a few connections, made a few friends. One of my friends that I did a show with, she works for that school district. And she was like, you know, I teach kids who, like, work on this stage that we did shows at, and they think it's so cool that you made it to Broadway. Can you come read to them and, like, talk about your career and, like, how education has played a big part in your life and whatnot? So that's what I was brought on to do. And the day that I was supposed to do it, she called me. She was like, okay, so there's a bit of a controversy. They went, the parents of the school district went on your social media, saw all your posts about Black Lives Matter and defunding the police and whatnot, and they want you removed from the program. And she was like, we're not removing you from the program, but for your safety, would you like to pre-record it and instead of going live so that, you know, you're not attacked in front of like all these people?
Oh.
And so I was like, absolutely. You know, she was like, she asked me first. She was like, do you even want to do it? I was like, absolutely. Like, I'm doing it for the kids. I could care less about their parents. So then I did it, and apparently there was still a lot of like uproar about it. And a reporter reached out to me because it was a big thing. And he was like, we want to get your side of the story of this, because I don't think we're understanding what's happening here. And basically they were just upset because of my social media. They never watched my interview. They don't even know that I never like talked about any kind of Black Lives Matter or defunding the police or anything. They just,
even if you did, though, like, I'm just,
yeah.
Even if you did say black, you're black. As in, are you black? Like,
this is what I'm saying. I'm like, what is not connecting?
First of all, why are you guys surprised that I stand for Black Lives Matter? Why is this
exactly?
Like, I feel like it's so obvious and so like, wait, what? That it does this even need to be explained?
Yeah, and the reason why it's gotten to be such a big thing was because the school board had a meeting, and the superintendent, well, I spoke to the superintendent. He said he didn't apologize, but I watched the school board meeting. It sure sounded like he apologized for having me there. Damn. So that's why it's a thing, because people are like, why are you apologizing? Like, you brought her here, and now you're making it seem like she should have never been there.
Right.
So that's kind of what I've been dealing with. It's been a lot, to say the least, but, you know.
Have you ever dealt with anything like this before?
Not quite like this, no. I mean, I've obviously, people attack you. You have your trolls on social media who attack you for your beliefs, but, like, never to this magnitude, ever.
It's just, first of all, like, I'm sorry on behalf of, like, I mean, I don't know any of them, but I'm just like, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank
and
you.
That you've even had to experience that, because what in the freaking world? Okay, so here's the thing. All right. Like, I was talking about this with my best friend last night. Like, the term defund the police sounds way scarier and way more like,
yeah,
like, extreme mm-hmm. than it actually is.
Yeah.
And it scares a lot of people. It's like not a great slogan, but like if they just like do a little research and look deeper, like
that's what I explained to the superintendent, because he was saying like, you know, I agree that Black Lives Matter and everything, but I can't like get behind the idea that police are bad and whatever. I'm like, I never said that they were. I just said that the institution.
We're not trying to take the police off the street.
Exactly. I'm just saying the institution has issues. It needs to be revamped. But furthermore, the police have so much money, and minority communities could use some of that money. Schools can use some of that
education.
Money.
Education. Education.
Like, you know,
we don't get mad at people for saying defund education. Like,
this is what I'm saying. Like, there are other resources that need that money. They don't need all of that money. So why not allocate some of those resources to other places? I told him that. I was like, it just takes a simple Google search. Not even trying to be shady, sir. It just takes a simple Google search to understand what this means.
Wait, so did you're talking to, this is the superintendent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, you're so brave, Essence. Like, why am I calling you Essence? Like,
it's fine.
This is literally rolled off the tongue. I'm like, come on, because you have such an essence.
Thank you.
Like, yeah, I would be nervous, and it seems like you feel confident and bold and doing that.
I think I was just more so angry. Because I'm not really that person who kind of just like I always try to add a little sugar to things to like soften it. But right. I think I'm just so angry and fed up at this point because like I'm left out here swimming by myself and y'all brought me here and did not protect me. So I'm angry now. So I don't have any sugar left to give to you at this point.
I mean, I'm not mad at you. And I don't blame you. In fact, I'm like, obviously, you are supported by an entire community for your, it just seems like, gosh, Diamond, like, that's just a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's all right because I feel very uplifted to see all the support I'm getting. Also, right. Also, a lot of those kids in the school district reached out to me and like,
good.
They told me a lot of their stories and they're not good stories. So like, I'm really happy that this happened and that it happened to someone like me, like who doesn't have the biggest platform in the world, but has some kind of platform to bring awareness to this issue.
I feel like anytime, I mean, we say that like, but you do have a platform, Diamond, you do. Mm-hmm. And even the fact that you've been on Broadway, like that's a thing. People see you, people are watching you, and every level that you get, like, obviously there's always going to be a higher level. I don't know how Beyonce, maybe she's like, maybe one day I'll be like, I don't know who she is.
Right.
But yeah, people are watching you, and you do leave an impression. I still remember when I met you, I'm like, you are so pleasant and sweet and kind. And
thank you.
And I will never forget that. I think it's an important thing, like going to auditions where there are other Black girls, and instead of tearing each other down or instead of being like, this is mine, it, like
totally.
Having that sense of, hey, I see you. Like, hey, I hope I get it, but like, if not me, I hope you get it. Like, let's do this thing and supporting each other. And it just felt like, you just seem like a really kind person who I'm like, I'd love to get coffee with you.
Please. I mean, we're in a whole ponder replay, but when things calm down, maybe. But please, I would love that. I would really love that.
Yeah, I would too. And I think that would be really nice. So thank you. But that's the kind of like person that you are. And so I'm excited to also to like watch the journey, because a lot of people who I've had on my podcast, like I remember before any of us had our Broadway debuts, like we were all just at auditions, and then to see people's like individual journeys, it's exciting. Like,
yeah, totally. I get so excited. Like I talk about this so often, especially like on Clubhouse now.
Oh,
just like how uplifting it is to like go into an audition space or a callback space where everyone's just calm and rooting for each other. That creates an environment for success. When everyone's stressed out and like competing with each other, there's no room for you to be successful because you're thinking about everybody else. Whereas if you are just giving out good energy and wishing everyone the best, it'll return.
Yes. Yes. On every level, at auditions, in an educational setting. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely. Just supporting others and being less concerned about me.
Right.
It really does come back to you what you put out.
And then, I mean, not to like whatever, but we met at the Lion, I think it was Lion King.
I think so. Or what? Lion King. I think Lion King. Yes. I was thinking Bodyguard. Nope.
No, I don't think it was Bodyguard. I think it was Lion King.
Okay.
And remember how, like, in that process, we were all rooting for each other.
It was awesome.
And then when I found out who got it, I was like, congrats! Work. Like, I'm happy! Work. You know?
Yes!
Instead of, like, feeling like, oh, I wish I got it. But, like, in that kind of environment, you don't have to feel like that because you make these connections. You see the special nature of a person and you're like, I want good things for you.
Exactly. And also to me, I think, I mean, obviously we all want a job, but like being in the room is like, well, we all have something special and we're all bringing something different to the table.
Yeah.
And like you doing your best and me doing my best, it is going to bring very different things. It's not we're different.
Yeah.
We can support each other we can support each other and be excited for each other, because if not today, like, there's another job that is meant for.
Exactly.
I mean, especially when you get at a certain point, it's like,
not
this one, and it'll be another one at some point.
So yeah.
We'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
I'm so excited. I'm also excited about, do you have locks in right now?
I do.
Tell me about these. Are they faux locks or are they like lock locks?
They're faux locks, but I'm like, this is kind of making me want to like get them for real.
They look fantastic.
Thanks.
It's a great look. And I want to point out, like, every time I've ever seen you, you always have a very bomb flattened hair. Like, it's always, it's cute. Like, she's cute.
Thank you.
And it makes me want to straighten my hair. And I'm trying so bad, Diamond. I'm trying my best to like do the natural hair thing, honey.
No, I mean, the only reason why I straighten my hair so much is because like that whole year when I was in Dear Evan Hansen and couldn't straighten my hair, I struggled with my natural hair journey and my hair got really damaged. And I'm like, I obviously am not doing this right. I don't know how to do it. So let me just stick to what I know. It's not the healthiest thing in the world, but like, I'd rather that than pull my hair out every 2 seconds.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So wait. They didn't have you straighten your hair at Dear Evan Hansen?
No.
And before Dear Evan Hansen, you were wearing your hair natural?
No. So before Dear Evan Hansen, I was kind of going back and forth a little bit, but I was more so on the straight hair side. But when I joined the show, I had straight hair. I came in one time with natural hair and they were like, can you just do that? And I was like, sure. But I had never, gone more than a few weeks with natural hair. So going the full year with natural hair, I had no idea what I was doing.
That's such a thing. Like, seriously, when you, oh my goodness, because I've experienced this. I've experienced it. When you're used to having straightened hair, like growing up, I always did. And then having curls, and I've always, like, when I was growing up, wanting to like have my curls out, but not knowing what to do and not having anybody to show me the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, how do I care for it? What do I do
to
where I don't have to just have wet hair all the time?
Right.
Because when it's wet, I'm like, oh, I'm cute.
Right. And my cousin does hair, and like she was like informing me of different things on my journey and like the things I was doing wrong, because my hair is like, I have a very thick hair, but it breaks so easily. Yeah. Like, it's not, so she was like, keeping it wet all the time is actually like hurting you. That's why it's breaking. You need to let it dry. Like, a lot of people say wet it to like start the defining process. She was like, for you, no, like that's not going to work for you, because it's breaking it off. It's like stripping the moisture and breaking your hair.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, okay. Wow. And that's the thing. It's like everyone's hair is a little bit different. So, mm-hmm. Did my video just pause? I'm so sorry.
It did. It's fine. I can still hear you, though.
I'll use this ghetto camera. Okay, great. So, everyone's hair is a little bit different, and what works for one person might not work for somebody else.
Yeah.
But, like, your straight hair is so cute. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
It really does make me want to straighten my own. But also, this look is bomb. These locks are bomb.
You know, I'm like, we were having a conversation in Clubhouse about like transitional periods in your career. And I'm like, I'm definitely in the thick of one. Like, I just got my nose pierced. I have faux locks. I'm like, definitely not. Yes. I'm definitely not in ingenue land anymore. So
I mean,
I am, but like, you know, some of these casting directors have no imagination, so they see a nose piercing and locks and they're like, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's real. But you're definitely giving me like Zoe Kravitz vibes.
Yeah. I've been getting that so much lately.
To me, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
She's so bomb.
Yeah. I love her. Thank you. Oh my God.
You're welcome. Okay. I have a technical question for you.
Yes.
Okay. So for your faux locks, did you put them in yourself?
No, I had my cousin do it.
Okay. Are they singles or is it like the crochet?
They're singles.
Oh.
Yeah.
How you do that?
So like, yeah. So you box braid your entire head and then you actually do crochet the faux lock like in and then you wrap it with the, what is it, Marley hair? I don't think it's Marley hair, but it's some kind of braiding hair.
You wrap it with, do you braid your own hair in the?
Yeah. So like you braid, like you do sections, you box braid your whole head, which takes a very long time.
Got it.
Then
with
you
your
like
own hair.
Yeah, then you like crochet the like the packed faux locks in, like they come in a pack and you just crochet that in, and then you wrap your braided hair to the faux lock with like the Marley hair so that you're not seeing like braids and faux locks, you're just seeing the faux lock.
Okay, wait, still trying to wrap my head around this. So the faux lock, it does it come as is, like you, if you were to just hold up one, it's already locked all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you crochet it in next to like the braid that you just braided.
Yeah. And then,
and
you,
then you
wrap it with the.
So how do you wrap it? How does it not come unwrapped?
I don't know actually. I think you have to get a certain kind of hair, because like the hair that she got, like she just wrapped it and she just like rubbed it together and it just stayed. It hasn't come loose.
Oh.
Yeah, I've no idea. I wish I could like tell you, because
this is your first time having them.
Yeah, I've only ever gotten braids or like a crocheted passion twist situation, but this is my first time.
Cute. I saw that on your timeline. I was like, ooh, that looks cute, girl. do you know how you will take? I might need to talk to you when you take the locks out and be like, okay, how was that process?
Yeah, that I've been, it's actually time to take them out, and I'm like, I'm scared because I don't know what, I mean, like, I know she told me, so like you do with a braid, you cut it, it'll start to unravel, and then like you take the crocheted part out, but I'm like, I don't even know where it's, it just looks like it's attached to my head, so I don't know where.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, please be careful.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm even stressed to cut it. I'm like, I don't want to cut my own hair by accident. Like, this is stress. So
it looks good still. You're about to take it out. I feel like you can keep them in a little longer.
Well, the thing is, like my puppy, being the crazy little pup she is, she's bitten into a few of the faux locks, and now my hair is exposed. So I have to take them out.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right, well, I'm like, I'm here for it, and you're making me want to get some.
Get it. Get it.
I'll be like, this was because of Diamond. Yeah. I love it. Okay, so I want to talk about straight hair again, because there's something that I noticed when I was straightening my hair a lot when I was on tour with Beautiful, and I realized like when I straightened it, I loved getting my ends cut, and I feel like you're going to be able to relate to this. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When I straightened my hair and I got my ends cut, it felt very healthy and it looked great. It looked healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously, when it's curly, you're like, oh, you can see the heat damage.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's straight, it kind of doesn't look damaged and it doesn't feel damaged. It feels actually pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. What is up with that?
That's the thing, right? Because I don't get that either. I think that the hair in and of itself maybe is not damaged, but like it's the curl.
The curl
is upset. Like, because I have a lot of heat damage myself, which is like why my natural hair journey is like crazy, because I have my straight strands and my curly strands, and it just is wild. But I don't know what that is, because my hair is just as thick. As it is, but you know, so I don't understand how it could be damaged and healthy at the same time, but somehow it is.
Okay, so if y'all are listening and y'all know the answer to this, I'm going to need somebody to slip into my DMs and be like, this is why, this is why. Because it's such a thing. It's like, when my hair was straight, I was literally straightening it like every other week.
Yeah.
Like getting blowouts, maybe even every week.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I'm like, and I wasn't even mad about it. I was like, y'all look good.
Can't tell nothing. Right.
But then when it was time to wear my curls, I was like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Sad. But can you walk me through just briefly, or as long as you want, like your natural hair journey or your hair journey from out of the womb? Like, starting with, what's your racial makeup?
I am Black, with like other things mixed in there that I'm not really quite aware of, but there's some stuff in there. My grandfather, he is biracial. He says Italian, but like, it's not sure. So like, we have no idea. And then on my mom's side, it's like literally evenly split, like Black people, white people. So like, there's some kind of mix over there too. I'm not sure, but something.
Okay, something's a little mixed in there. Yeah. Okay. And then growing up, was your hair straight, curly?
It was curly up until I was about, I want to say 12. I begged my mom for a relaxer. I don't know why, because looking at the pictures of my hair as it was then, I'm like, if I would have just left it alone, I would be fine. But, you know, being a kid, and I went to like all white schools and everything, so I think I was like self-conscious. So I got a relaxer at 12. And I stopped relaxing my hair at 17, but I continued to straighten it. I didn't really like wear it natural very often. I think I was still a little embarrassed from childhood. And in college, I like started to like kind of break out of that and wear it natural sometimes, not natural other times. And it was my senior year when I was like, I'm okay with this. I want to be natural. Where a professor told me, and this is why racism is terrible. Professor told me, it was like, if you want to maintain your type as an ingenue, you will not work with your hair natural. So I kept it straight again.
Wow.
Yeah. So like my whole journey with this hair and how white people have played a part in my journey is like a lot. But now I'm like, just, I'm going to do what I want. Like, I would love to wear my hair natural, but it's not in a place where it can be worn natural at the moment. So we're going to keep it straight. But there's going to come a day where I'm going to chop this bad boy off and let it grow back and be a natural queen like I want to be.
That is, so you want to be.
I really do. But my hair is just not in a place where I can. It's just going to look crazy.
Oh my goodness. Please let me go on this journey with you. Like, just like. The supporting, even when you're straightening your hair, like that is like a real thing, especially moving to LA. Like, it is so hard to go to LA and not straighten my hair. Like, it's just so hard. So if you ever do decide to like chop it or do anything, like just know that you have people rooting you on. But also, I get it, because where you live, your environment plays such a role. Like, even recently, maybe not like this year, but the last time I was in Los Angeles, I went, when I was still wearing a lot of wigs, I went to my wig store where I bought my favorite wig. I was like, I need a second one. And they were sold out. And you know what I walked out of there with? A blonde straight hair wig. Like, how did they get me to do that? Like,
that's it,
like,
wow.
When in Rome. When in LA, it's like,
yeah,
I never bought a blonde wig in my life. But I'm here with you. Like, that is such a real thing, especially when we're little. Like, I remember begging for a relaxer. I never got a relaxer, but I begged for one as well, because those kids on the box, what was the box?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
they look so cool. And then also you could go swimming and your hair was still straight. Like,
yep. I totally remember that. That's like, that was my thing. And then I think Princess Diaries was a little influential too, because I watched her go from her
crazy.
Yeah.
Like, curly hair was not cool.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, mom, let's do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll be right back right after the break.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I just want to like also just touch on what you said about how your hair journey has been highly influenced by white people.
Yeah.
That is so real.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and the thing is, it's you just said it so simply, but pretty much a lot of people who I've sat down and talked to, and myself included, that's kind of been like the underlying connecting factor.
Yeah.
Maybe not said so succinctly, mm-hmm. but like what would we look like if.
Right. Right.
What would that world be? If
it would be a very beautiful place with just curls and kinks just out and free and wonderful. And I mean, I feel like we're transitioning to that world a little bit.
I feel that.
But like, I wish we never had to transition to it. I wish it was just like what it was, like that we could just like wear our hair and be fine.
Right. I do feel like there's a learning curve, just like everyone is learning all this technology all at the same time during the pandemic because we have to.
Yeah.
I feel like there's like that learning curve with hair. Like there's some people who have got it, like right. when it comes to natural hair, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then there's people who are like, I have no idea what to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on, you guys, like if we can band together and just share our secrets, I know I've been taught my whole life, don't tell everybody everything, don't share all your secrets. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like when it comes to this, like tell the secrets so that we can all elevate each other.
Please. And
like, so we can stop reinventing the wheel.
Right. Please. Like, just share it.
Just share it.
I will say, though, like, in my year in Dearborn Hansen, I did, like, have, like, I did have my friends there who were natural, but, like, their curl patterns were different than mine. So they were, like, giving me, like, the one person was like, go to Diva Curl. Diva Curl jacked me up.
Dang.
You jacked me up. Yeah, like
you're not the first person I've
bad. But the first time I went, I was like, wow, I've never seen my curls so defined. The second time I was like, wow, I see a lot of breakage. What happened?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like, no shade to DivaCon, like they work for who they work for. But some people don't work for us.
Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm like, I want to go to somebody who feels comfortable with my texture. Even if they don't have my texture, I need to make sure that I really feel comfortable. If you look like me, I feel
right.
like I trust you with shears in your hand.
Yeah.
But even if you don't look like me, I need you to just be super comfortable and let me know
right.
that you are super comfortable. Because I don't want any more surprises. I've had my hair cut off one too many times.
Right. Totally. And they offered to cut off my, like, my heat damaged parts. And I was like, no, thank you. I will go to people I trust to cut my hair. thank you for trying, but no.
Ooh, I mean, honestly, wait, how do you care for when you have locks in? Do you do anything special, or is it just you leave it and you go?
As far as like my hair's concerned, or like,
and as far as like, okay, I'm asking as somebody who I would kind of want to get some. I just have no idea. Like, is it literally one of those, it's on your head and you just forget about it? Can I forget about it? Do I need to do any maintenance? Like, how have you, what's your experience been in your?
So I basically like treated it the way I just like treat braids. Except like, and you know, you have to like keep your bonnet on and when you go to sleep and all that stuff. But I have this like scalp tonic to like kind of like prevent buildup. Because, you know, it like you kind of build up when you're like oiling your scalp. So I have this tonic that helps prevent that. And that's pretty much all I do. I do the tonic like, I want to say every 2 days. Because like, don't want my scalp to get all dried out.
I have never heard of this. What is it called?
It's Design Essentials. Hold on, I'm going to Google it.
I get it, because I'm like, ooh.
I don't remember the exact name of it, but Design Essentials.
Buildup is a thing. I did those passion twists, the crochet ones, and I was like, uh-oh, she's kind of itchy in there. Yeah. What do I do, y'all? What do I do?
No, that scalp tonic is really everything. Design Essentials, that's not the one. Oh, here it is. Design Essentials Peppermint and Aloe Scalp Tonic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woo, woo. And how long can you keep them in?
I think that just depends on the person. My cousin who does it, she like, as soon as she gets new growth, she's like, I'm taking them out. She's like, I don't want this. But I think it just depends on the person. And like, you know, I would not exceed maybe 2.5 months or three. It's kind of like with braids.
Oh, that's great. I was wondering if it was weeks. You're like months.
Oh, yeah. Like kind of like with braids. Like you do like 2 months and you're like, okay, this is a mess. Let me take it out. But it's been a month for me, though, and my new growth is insane. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe a month. But like, if you can stand the new, if you can stand the new growth, if you don't care, like, by all means, do your 2 months.
Okay, that's real. I'm like, honestly, I ask so many questions because I'm like, I want to try things. I don't know what the heck. That's literally the whole reason I started this thing, Diamond. I'm like, how do I wear my curls? Let me find people who are wearing their curls and just ask all the questions because, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't totally. Know. And I love this podcast. Like, I haven't listened to it, but I'm going to go back and, like, I didn't know. Like, I literally did not know that, like, you had this podcast about, like, black hair. And I'm like, well, now I have to go back and, like, catch up.
I mean, thank you. It's been fun because I'm just kind of, like, just trying to get down to the bottom of things. Like, one thing I haven't asked you is, like, when you have a wig prep, what is your wig prep? Or is your hair straight when you do wig prep?
So I just took to wearing wigs in, like, 2019. I was
You've never been wigged for a show.
Oh yeah, I have. Like, let me not do that. Okay, so I thought you meant like wig in everyday life, but for a show, like I cannot braid at all, so I have to have somebody braid my hair, or I'll just like do two pigtails and like wrap them around my head and just pin them so it's still flat. But if nobody can braid my hair, that's what I'll do. But other than that, I try to, like, have it braided so, like, I can pin. Yeah.
That's a good idea. Like, two regular braids and then you wrap them?
Yeah. Well, my hair is, like, usually straight. So, usually, like, it's just simple. I can just, like, whatever. But when it's been natural, like, I will have somebody. Like, I was in Dreamgirls in, 2017. That was a while ago now. Okay. And like, luckily I was around all these black people and I was like, my hair is natural. Can somebody braid it? And this girl was like, yeah, come sit down. And it was fine. But, you know, I haven't been in a situation yet where there's no one who could help me. So I don't know what I'm going to do when that day comes.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm here for it. I support you in all the things. I do. I'm going to wrap this up so that you can go and live your best life and all the things. But I want to say, or I want to ask you one last thing. Like, what is there anything that you are looking forward to? Any shred of hope? Any?
Totally. So, in this pandemic, I like went back to an old love of mine of writing, and I wrote my first feature. And I feel I've done a few readings of it now. I've gotten some amazing feedback. I just got connected to some people who are like helping me learn how to pitch. So that is like the thing that I'm like really looking forward to. I never thought that I would be the person on the other side, but like I.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited because like I feel like my story is not one that's been told yet. So I'm like, I'm excited to like get it out there. I wrote one of the characters for myself, but like I'm totally down for like giving in another opportunity to another Black queen.
That's so really great, but also write your role, honey.
Yeah.
Write your role. Ain't nobody mad. Ain't nobody mad at you. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. Yeah. So wait, feature like a full length feature film or a short or a play or a musical, like
a full length feature.
A full length movie.
Yeah. Well, it started its life as a play. But then I started like kind of writing it like the end of 2019 because like I was bored at my like survival job and I was like, I have an idea. I'm going to like write this down. And I started it as a play. Then I had one of my friends, I was talking to one of my friends about it. She was like, that sounds like a movie. You should make it a movie. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. Then I took a bunch of workshops over the summer to like learn how to kind of do that. And I got a bunch of like handouts and like things that I could refer to when I'm like typing things up. And then I finished it at some point. I don't even know how, but I did.
Whoa. Yeah. I'm so inspired. Oh my goodness. That's so, especially since it's, I feel like when we get out of this pandemic, we've had so much like Black Lives Matter, everything like we want more opportunities and we want to be on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good thing to want those things. But I do feel like there will be a day when it's like people will want to actually, hopefully, help usher that in. Mm-hmm. And when that day comes, guess what, folks? Like, we got to be ready. Like,
right.
have material that you're like, hey, I worked on this. I wrote this. I'm ready to like, to be able to walk through those doors when they're open. Because
totally.
To be ready. And so good for you for having like
thank you.
Oh, I am so on. That's very exciting.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I'm really happy with it. And I'm gonna do a reading soon, so if you want to come, please come.
Please. Yeah. Yes, if you like have a, if you put it like, let me know. Yes.
Yeah, I will. I will.
And if you ever need like somebody to like read with you.
Totally.
I mean,
and I do. So
I'm like, we need each other, you know, like, thank you for coming to my podcast. So
of course it was fun. I had a good time.
Thank you for being here, girl. I hope you have a great week. And dear God, Godspeed for Wednesday, the inauguration.
Yeah. We remain in prayer.
We remain in front.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Love you, girl.
Love you, too. Thank you for having me.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.